When I had to clear out the manse back in Scotland to come over to Geneva, it was a humbling experience. The clutter amassed over the previous 38 years was unbelievable. Stuff that suffocates, accumulation that oppresses, cramps and crowds, boxes you in. Did I really have all this? Whatever it made me think, I needed all this. It was in many ways a great feeling, liberating, to fill the skip, largest size hireable, with so many things, untouched for months, unused for years. Get rid of it all, clear your feet, walk free, start afresh, uncluttered, unburdened. Generally speaking, not many of us are travelling light through this veil of tears. Try moving house and see. Lofts full, garages crammed, the cupboards stacked, paraphernalia various, squirreled away over the years on the pretext that it might be useful someday. Aye, right. Excess baggage, not needed on the voyage. This was John's concern, John the Baptist, that the message couldn't get through because of the excess baggage. The people of Palestine were not just occupied, they were preoccupied with their busy lives, their sins and derelictions, with the despair and cynicism that comes from being a subject people. Their religious bitterness, they had seen too many false dawns, too many false messiahs. Oh no, not another one. Heard it. The lassitude that says, why bother? Nothing changes. They're all liars and deceivers. Why engage emotionally with messianic hope and aspiration? Yet again, only for it all to end in tears, as it surely will. The emotional scrapyard, with the leftover feelings, the residual damage that suffocates and cramps. Who was going to be able to find a way through it all, past it all, to encounter the good news of the coming of the kingdom of God in the midst of this huge pile of distractions, the emotional debris that cluttered their story? But again, John issues his urgent summons, a voice crying in the wilderness, listen up. This time it's for real. This is the big one. Be there. Let it reach you and touch you, or regret it always. Listen. Watch football for only a little while, and you soon realise that goalkeepers worry a lot about corners. You see that when one is given against them and the team gets into formation, takes up the defensive roles, rehearsed during training, zonal marking, who's keeping an eye on whom, and the goalies urge their teammates to stay focused, to concentrate, to be alert. Urging the team to pay attention, be prepared, be very prepared. And this is John the Baptist's battle cry, his mantra, his USP, his unique selling point. This is his job. Be prepared, he says, be very prepared. One outcome of the current crisis that has made Christmas 2020 such a different experience is that this year it might just be possible to stay focused, to keep our eye on the main thing. Many of the pressures and distractions simply aren't going to be there, will not be an option. Exhausting and stressful family dinners, gaudy Christmas fairs and noisy office parties, Christmas staff lunches and long car journeys to visit the relatives, bustling airports, not so much Christmas 2020. So actually, perhaps there's a greater opportunity to find the deep and meaningful in the midst of our enforcedly stripped bare experience. In recent years, it's as if there was a carefully choreographed conspiracy to make it well nigh impossible for us to encounter the real experience of what it means. We carried so much excess baggage with us into the encounter with Christmas. There were all the tasks. This will be your busy time, people would say. If I got 10 francs for every time I've had that said to me over the years at Christmas. Well, it is a busy time, sort of. There are extra services, bits and pieces, but there's still plenty of space for thinking. And there will still be the jobs awaiting the average family, roles, responsibilities, demands that eat into the capacity to explore Christmas as a serious moment for us, because we're so snagged up in the chores that must be done, valid tasks that probably someone has to do, but it can end up being that being prepared becomes less about making our life ready to receive the Christ than it is about doing all the jobs that need doing, ticking our way through the list before we can even entertain the thought of thinking about what it might all mean. And there are the voices, the distracting voices. Do you ever feel a bit like Joan of Arc, hearing the voices all around at this time? Even in a slightly reduced form, they're still out there encouraging us, buy this shop here, use this card, take up this unrepeatable offer, come here, snag this bargain, eat out at this place, make sure you watch that programme, don't miss the film of Christmas. Voices sounding in our brain, always threatening to drown out the angel's song, the clatter of the donkey's hooves, the lowing cattle, the swish of velvet as the wise men present their gifts, the cry of a child born in the night. So hard to hear the message. So many noises. Throw in the financial pressures, perhaps for many felt more sharply than ever. The worry about the budget meeting the demand, the expectations up again on last year. The plastic so-called friend even more tantalisingly flexible, and the dangerous chasm of debt yawning before so many people. The unfortunate comparisons with what other people have pressing hard on us. These are real issues. Who can keep focused on the main thing? With all this eating away at our soul. It's a tough time too, emotionally, for people, with a particular emotional strain and drain of the festive season, when, for all sorts of reasons, all sorts of people are feeling anything but festive. Those still in mourning, those far away from the people they love, those families whose brokenness seems all the more jagged when surrounded by the seeming goodwill and warmth of other people's lives. People carrying heavy loads of sorrow and hurting around with them all the time, unable to see what's good and lovely about this time, what's special about it other than the special sharpness of loss and emptiness that it generates. So listen, mix all these things together and you have a recipe for a distracted, deadened, distanced experience of the birth of the Saviour. For so many people, it's so hard to get close to it, to let it touch with their tender. It's as if somehow it's happening over there for other people. As for me, sorry, too busy, too hassled, too fragile, too bad. So how can we help? Help each other. Help other people to get in touch with it all. Well, being here and doing this helps. It's so precious. Reminds us and reminds other people that there is a process happening, a journey in progress towards the heart of it all, and we are making it together. And if we give ourselves to that, there is blessing and enrichment of our experience. Stopping to look and listen in the throes of the pre-Christmas pressures helps us refocus. Stop and take stock. The worship experiences we offer can save this season from becoming, for so many, just a mad whirligig of pressured consumerism and unabashed commercialism, or a hollow, empty husk of disappointment. I hope you will encourage friends and family to share in our services, even if, especially if, they're not much in the way of coming to church services. I've no problem with people coming to a midnight service on Christmas Eve, people who only ever come to that service. I refuse to be cynical about this being some kind of tokenism, a mere nod in the direction of truth and meaning and sentiment. The reality is that for many people, this will be as close as they come to the heart of the matter. They will be touching with their fingertips the edges of the gospel. So I wouldn't want to get all patronising and superior about that. The simple truth is, if we're not here doing our job, letting the story be told, announcing the good news, then for so many people it will be winter with no Christmas. and Christmas with no Christ at the centre. So, in a sense, this is my busy time, our busy time, through the worship and the witness of the church, urging all the people to choose wisely just what event they will celebrate. What is the reality they must be sure not to miss? Time magazine had a story on the must-have gifts of the holiday season. How about grabbing one of these? Texter, the robotic dog, will just not shut up, says the article. He has flapped his mechanical ears, wagged his high-tech tail to get attention, but there is none forthcoming. He has taken several determined paces on his sturdy silver legs in search of a playmate, but no one has stimulated the sensors at the back of his neck or pressed the special bone in his nose in response. So Texter has started to whine in a perfect imitation of an eight-week-old puppy that his microchip is programmed to mimic. If the predictions of analysts and retailers are anything to go by, toys like Texter are going to bound off the shelves this Christmas. Yours for $57. But which would you prefer? Which would any child prefer? A plastic puppy? Cold, manufactured, easy and basically lifeless, incapable of love? Or the real thing? A real puppy, warm, demanding, spontaneous, surprising, loving, one with teeth. And which Christmas are we preparing for? The plastic, tame one? Or the warm, demanding, surprising one that has real love at the very heart of all it is? Amen.